Gather round, gentle listeners, for today we are recapping Play It Again, Dick, the 2014 Veronica Mars spin-off web series starring Dick Casablancas / Ryan Hansen.
The TLDR version is Ryan Hansen wants to get a Dick Casablancas spin-off going, which is kind of a noir and kind of a 70s detective series, and he's trying to get all the Veronica Mars actors to reprise their characters. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of topless Ryan Hansen in it, though.
And God bless, Helen.
It does seem fun to be Ryan Hansen based on this.
Yeah.
It's very complicated because there's this show, Play It Again, Dick. Mm-hmm. There's this mock documentary being filmed for some reason.
BTS content, Helen.
DVD extras, they pretend. And then the show within the show, Private Dick, which Ryan Hansen is trying to get commissioned as a Dick Casablancas spin-off. So this is a Dick Casablancas spin-off with a Dick Casablancas spin-off in it.
If you came for Dick, you came to the right place, Ellen. an embarrassment of Dick riches.
Dick's all the way down.
Dick's all the way down.
Everyone's playing multiple characters because they're playing their real selves, right, but a fake version of them. And then they're Veronica Mars characters, but Play It Again, Dick's versions of those, / Private Dick's versions of those. This was originally conceived as promo for the 2014 Veronica Mars movie.
Oh, really?
But then it got developed more, and then it happened after the movie.
Wow.
For the CW website, CW Seed. That's where the real good shit goes, right?
When you think about Play It Again, Dick, landing on the CW Seed, this is not the first time I have wondered why they chose Seed as their thing. Listen, Helen, I'm out here watching episodes of Riverdale on CW Seed because that is what is available to me. But from whose mind did that name spring?
Maybe it seemed funny at the time.
Blech.
But this is from the imagination of Rob Thomas. They were like, here's far more money than you expected, Rob, to make some movie promo. And he was like, oh, I'm busy with iZombie. But he was also like, I can't let go of my Veronica Mars.
Yep. His cold, dead fingers.
But he said it's not a real Veronica Mars canon.
I should hope not. What is going to happen? Do you want to talk through this chronologically?
I guess.
As we tend to do. I feel like the credits might be my favorite thing.
Yes.
And also like a really nice encapsulation of like what you have to look forward to. You know, he's getting out of the shower already wearing his gun holsters. He's running down the beach with a surfboard with his gun holsters flapping in the breeze. He's doing a backflip surrounded by people with,
of course,
solo cups. He's naked on a bed with a pillow on his junk. He shirtlessly high fives from the side with Jason Doering while they lounge on lawn chairs. There's just in that, and nobody's saying any words, which is maybe a really good quality or a more certain quality, you know, when you take into account the total, the sum of all the words said across these 8 episodes. Some of them I will take, some of them I will leave, but we don't have to worry about that during the credits because it's just ripping.
Yeah, I would commission it based on the title sequence. I also liked in the later episodes the voice of the previously on, which I think is Darren Norris, and it gets weirder and weirder.
I was wondering, because there's one that's like very recognizably Darren, and then I was wondering if it was actually, if they were just getting other cast folk to, no idea.
Probably. So the first person we see is Kristen Bell, not surprisingly. And I thought in their scene that Ryan Hansen and Kristen Bell are less good at playing versions of themselves than they are other characters.
I agree with that. But I really did love how she responds when he shows her footage of herself having just gotten out of her car 10 minutes ago in his driveway, which has already been integrated into the credits.
He does have an incredible team of multiple people making this documentary about him trying to get this pilot off the ground.
Yeah.
so much web content being made.
Yeah, how much of the $50,000 micro budget do you think went towards that?
Probably 45.
Money well spent. The turnaround alone.
They shot this whole thing in 8 days, which is a lot.
Wow.
Now, he pitches to Kristen Bell that the show will be like Joey or Angel. What did you feel about that? I've not really watched either.
I loved, I've never seen Joey. I loved that Kristen Bell mentions that Angel was brooding and sexy, which tells me that she is an Angel woman, not a Spike woman, which is interesting to me.
Do you approve?
Well, based on the fact that she ends up with Logan, I would imagine her to be more of a Spike woman. When we started making this show, like, I heard from a lot of people citing Logan as the Spike of the piece. He's a bad boy with anger issues, but he's also, like, very emotional and, like, you know, he's all friggin'... He's not, like, the dude you take home to mom. Neither is Angel, but, like, Angel is already on a path towards redemption and, like, already, like, fully... like soaked in guilt that he'll never be able to truly escape.
Okay, so he's like a later series Logan.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas with Spike, I feel like you kind of get more of the arc of Logan, where he starts as like someone you don't want to be in the same room as, and then you like slowly over time start to see like, oh wow, there's actually some pretty compelling stuff about you, and I like want to know more. And will you play poker in detention soon with someone?
But Dick is neither of these people.
It's true. Dick is neither.
He does have Joey-ish qualities.
That's true. But Joey is, I think, more lovable, like more inherently lovable, less repugnant than Dick.
Yeah, Kristen Bell does note.
Dick Casablancas was an entitled, self-involved, hedonist moron. And, I mean, if you were really paying attention to the story, a likely date rape enabler.
Right, okay. Well, it didn't really seem to concern Rob.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know, right?
And she wonders whether Dick needs to be a private eye. Why not call it Douchebag City or Bros?
Douchebag City I wrote down because I liked it so much. Would green light.
We get a few scenes in a boardroom with some execs. The first one where Ryan is pitching to them. And at this time, the show is like the film Limitless starring Bradley Cooper, where because of some pharmaceutical hoo-ha, he has access to 100% of his brain.
Sure, sure.
And then has to find antidote, take down Big Pharma, blah, blah, blah. The true pitch is like a Veronica Mars that isn't afraid of sex.
Helen, I thought of you when those words were uttered.
We dropped the whole... who gives a damn high school as a metaphor for something or other crocky shit, and give the people what they want.
And what they want is...
dick!
Do you think there are the right amount of dick jokes in this, Jenny, or too many or not enough?
You mean like this scene or this entire series?
In the entire series. In this episode, there are quite a lot. Kristen Bell says that she has a blind spot for dick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They say what the people want is dick.
Yep, yep. I've personally... I feel like it comes on a little strong at first, but by the time I got to the end of the series, it felt like I had experienced the appropriate number of dick jokes for 8 episodes.
Okay, you were satisfied.
Yeah, I had had enough dick, Helen. Thank you for asking. And what about you?
I suppose I was resigned at the start to being hit in the face with dick jokes.
Over and over again.
And duly, I was.
I like that Ryan says that Rob always called him the dessert of the show. And why not have a show that's all dessert?
Not a bad point.
Kind of.
It worked for Ace of Cakes.
Hey! One of the strongest parts of Ryan's pitch for the show is that it'll include a lot of young, hot people forgetting to put their shirts on. Which, as you know, Helen, is basically my genre of choice.
Oh, well. You're going to really enjoy some episodes of this. Whereas I thought, is this exploitative even though it's been framed as ironized?
Right, right, right.
There's also a bit where he's pitching a season 2 musical episode to Kristen Bell, forgetting that she can sing and dance, even though she got him tickets to see her Hair at the Hollywood Bowl, which did really happen in 2014. Oh, yeah. Her, Amber Riley, Sarah Hyland.
Oh my God.
She's busy. She's a very busy Kristen Bell. And he's a very busy Rob Thomas, because in episode two, he is basically promoting iZombie.
Dude.
In front of an iZombie poster.
Oh, dude.
Which hasn't happened yet. And there's a couple of people from iZombie in this. And even though this is like a pure fan service thing, that's fan service for no one yet, because people haven't seen iZombie.
It's more like Rob service, it feels like.
But a familiar scene now of Ryan Hansen and Jason Doering chatting whilst playing shooty games.
But why chat and play shooty games when you could chat while doing chin-ups and curls?
That's what we're doing right now.
Yes!
It's funny because they're playing shooty games, and only after several minutes does Jason Doering realise they're being filmed by this large documentary film crew. And that's tops off time.
Get that shirt out of here. Farewell shirt.
No chest hair, Jenny. The chest hair is gone in the last 10 years.
Some men lose it on top. Some men lose it on the chiseled cliff face of their sculpted pectoral zone. There's something that makes me really happy about hearing Jason Doering say the phrase Rizzoli and Isles. Did this do anything for you?
I have seen that show listed on the television and have never thought to stop off.
So one of them is like a detective, and then one of them is like a medical examiner. Ooh. And they're like best friends, question mark? Or maybe bitter rivals, or maybe they're bitter rivals who become best friends. Or
bitter friends. That happens.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But the reason that I know that they exist the most is because, though I believe they, I think, are just friends on the show, they are like, there is a queer icon status that has been awarded to them as a, should I say, fruple? Like a friend couple, except headcanon dictates that they are a real couple. Anyway,
great.
Just letting you know what kind of nebulous things I may or may not have heard around the very gay water cooler.
Well, we could recap that next. Wait, let's check the number of episodes though. 105. No, I take it all back.
It's a long one. It's friggin' procedural.
But Jason Doering pitches Joker and the Ace.
Cruising for a couple of queens.
What was that about?
Well, I think it was supposed to be like a poker thing that doesn't quite work and then just ends up not sounding how they mean it to.
I don't know if Dick was in Logan's poker circle. Doesn't seem like someone who would be good at that game.
I don't remember him being at, you know, the one big poker night.
Then there's some awkwardness. They managed to make the fictional Ryan Hansen somewhat body shamed.
Yeah, I don't care for this. Although just from like a how do things work or like how do you accomplish things perspective.
Mm.
So like when bodybuilders are getting ready to compete, there's this whole thing with like when they stop drinking water and like how they're taking protein. I have a like bodybuilder friend who has kind of explained it to me before, and like it just sounds like totally, you know, not healthy. Like it's definitely not good for you, but basically you want to kind of like cut off your water at a certain point so that like all of the definition that you've like really pumped up in yourself in the days leading up to the competition can really pop because you don't have as much water in your body as you normally would.
And Jason Doering hasn't drunk water since 2010.
Yeah, Jason Doering looks dehydrated, very dehydrated. Even though they're not getting into it, I think it's like interesting that it even comes up, because I feel like it's not something that like you necessarily are thinking about when you go to see like a superhero movie. But like there is a video you can find online of Hugh Jackman talking about like how he'll prep for like 2 weeks for like what culminates in like a one minute's worth of a Wolverine movie, where he's kind of doing the same stuff, but he also, in addition to being severely dehydrated, has these enormous blades attached to his hand that he's just like winging about in a fight scene while he's like dehydrated and like not necessarily at his full capacity. And you know, you look at like the cover of like Men's Health or whatever and you're like, oh yeah, some people can do that, but like I don't think really anybody can do it without like a very specific, like very regimented and probably like not super not sustainable and unhealthy kind of approach.
I remember the men from Glee early on in the run of Glee saying, like, before a photo shoot, they would only eat yams for several days because it gave them more ab definition. I was like,
really?
I didn't think Glee was one of the most shirtless things. You could probably get away with not doing that. But it's a cruel industry.
Helen, I am thrilled to report that I'm now Googling yams for ab definition.
Yeah, you put a couple of yams in your shirt, preferably raw for firmness. But anyway, Jason Doering tells Ryan Hansen to lose the last 2% of body fat because there's good, there's great, and a million miles in between, as his trainer says.
Yeah, that's exactly the sort of thing a trainer would say.
And this clearly does lodge in Dick's mind a bit, which is sad, although he does play the hand ocarina, which I enjoyed. It's just a brief moment of that. Can you do that where you clasp your hands and you can like play them like a woodwind instrument? I can't.
No, I wish I could.
Ow! Getting the band back together, baby.
And then next, Ryan calls Piz. Well, Chris Lowell, avatar of Piz.
This is the first time I've ever been happy to see Chris Lowell in a Veronica Mars context.
Well, because he's playing Chris Lowell, not Piz, and that's why we can love him.
True. True, yeah. Delightful. I really do like that a couple important players who could not physically be there got on Skype for stuff. This works for me.
But Chris Lowell immediately looks unenthused when he hears that Ryan Hansen wants him to be in a Veronica Mars spin-off. And is that because being in Veronica Mars hadn't been a good experience for him, or because Piz got dumped in the movie, which has happened just before this?
The vibe that I got was that he just hates Ryan Hansen, which seems possible from the version of Ryan Hansen that we're getting in this.
He does tell him to fuck off, and then he walks off, and he's only wearing a shirt.
Okay, I don't know what happened to me, but I missed that. Oh. He's not wearing pants?
He's not wearing pants. It's a full buttock shot, Jenny.
Helen, I gotta go. I'll call you back. We also find out that Ryan's Skype screen name is Pink Torpedo.
Mm. Very Spinal Tap, isn't it? The next person who just appears in a video call is Enrico Colantoni.
Delightful. Happy to see him?
Yes. Although he then just does a load of, I was wondering whether it was improvised or what, he just does a load of bollocks really with like an errand he wants Ryan to do to get a package and take it to Tom Hanks and put it under Tom Hanks's bed.
You know me, Helen, I'm always in favor of people tormenting Tom Hanks in some way. My nemesis.
You've got beef with Tom Hanks.
Yes. My goal, Helen, is to never reveal publicly the details of what happened between me and Tom Hanks.
Okay, well, all that we can say is that Tom Hanks did not do anything illegal, but now he's Jenny's nemesis.
Yes.
But this whole thing is really just some fucking around. Well, in fact, the whole Play It Again, Dick is these people fucking around. But within that context, this is especially Enrico Colantoni fucking around. But what I loved is that at the end of their video chat, which is happening because Enrico Colantoni can't come into the US because of a tax squabble.
Yes.
Ryan Hansen sticks out his hand for a handshake at the end of the call.
It's good. It's very good. And then speaking of people fucking around, Helen, guess who's next? It's Percy Daggs III, who hates Most Favored Nations. Which I don't even know how. I've never had the opportunity to have an opinion about Most Favored Nations. It's just been thrust upon me in certain circumstances.
I don't even know how I would describe Most Favored Nations.
It's basically, it just means that, like, if you're being offered terms for something, like, say I was being offered like a license fee for a song that I co-wrote, that they're offering the same deal to everyone.
Okay.
So that nobody's getting like a better deal than anybody else, which would make me think that it would be a good thing. But maybe I'm a fool, or maybe actors feel differently, or maybe Percy just wants to get paid.
Well, he certainly wants his gas reimbursed.
He does.
Fuck Most Favored Nations. All that means is a brother ain't getting paid. You want me to be in this little TV show of yours? You my man?
Well, I don't really know what you're handing me.
That's a receipt for a full tank of gas. It's a long motherfucking way from the LBC all the way up to the 323. But I guess you wouldn't know that. Charge that shit to production.
They've also put him in a dough rag and large hoop earrings. And in Private Dick, he wants to play against type. And also in Play It Again, Dick, he wants to play against type.
Don't even think about putting me on the call sheet if you're gonna have Wallace Fennell doing any of that pussy shit. No model airplane flying. No getting duct taped to flagpoles. No magical Negro bullshit. You got it?
But then, through the front door, comes a scantily dressed woman, credited only as Skank with Attitude, which I don't think is polite or accurate. And she is played by Rose McIver, who is the lead in iZombie.
Ah.
Percy Doug's third told her to wait in the car, but she needs to pee. And so now, she's Dick's problem. Well, not Dick, Ryan. She's Ryan Hansen's problem.
Right, right. What?
So now she's in
this.
This
is not what... Yeah.
Getting three lines at a time.
I feel like maybe this is the most jarring episode.
Yeah, I'd agree. And also nothing really happens.
Yeah. But if you like when nothing happens, wait till you hear about the next episode, Helen.
Oh, yeah.
Now, some might consider Frances Capra showing up in a turtleneck something happening. I, however...
And a beret.
Less a beret and more of like a Kangol hat, right?
Yeah, that is true.
I think...
Samuel L. Jackson has worn the same hat.
Right. Frances Capra is all like, forsooth, you know, and like, I'm an actor.
Rob never had respect for craft, our motivation.
Yeah.
Honestly, I know this has been done to death, but I did enjoy it from Frances Capra.
I mean... I'm happy to get to see Frances Capra do anything all the time.
Yeah.
Of course. Maybe it's just because we got like Enrico and then Percy and then this, like three back to back, like, hey, we're doing the total opposite of the thing we did in the show. By the time we get to Frances, I'm just a little tired.
Yes. It's like Michael Cera's cameo in Twin Peaks The Return three times in a row.
I got to do my homework and find out what that means, Helen.
Look, the intersection of people who've seen Twin Peaks The Return and Play It Again, Dick, has got to be enormous, right?
Yeah.
So many of us. So many of me. Michael Cera tones up and does this whole, like, James Dean-ish monologue as a character that has no bearing on the plot and doesn't get seen again.
Helen Sheehan.
Although at least Frances Capra gets a bit to do in Play It Again, Dick.
I'll do your show, Ryan, but give me something real. Something I can sink my teeth into. And Thursday's my only day off.
What?
His only day off from what? None of my business.
Now, there's some jokes I don't love in this. And one of them is an Asian man shows up to deliver food. And Ryan Hansen can't understand what he says because the man looks Asian while speaking English.
Sometimes when the joke is Ryan Hansen is a dick, it's funny, but in this case, it is not.
No, in this case, it's a bad joke.
Yeah, unsubscribe.
And then Ken Marino, who's not going to be in the show within the show, but does recap the very little that has happened in 3.5 episodes of Play It Again, Dick. And then they have a chat about fellatio.
Big chat about fellatio.
Okay, so, I mean, Jason thinks this is like a buddy cop thing.
Right.
I promised Percy that I'd make Wallace more of a badass, and Francis wants to flex his acting muscles.
Oh, you know, while we're talking about it, I would love to be energetically filleted by the Laker girls.
Oh no, Vinny Venlo's not in it.
Oh.
Well, you know what? You do me this favor, and I will energetically fillet you.
Not interested.
Digital probe on the house.
Oh, wow, still not interested. But if I can film it, right, and put it up on the internet, now I'm hooked. Now you got me.
All right.
And then we meet a character called Gaston, who's a dancer, and he's wearing a shirt which is more armhole than fabric.
The first person I ever saw wearing a shirt like this was Gavin Rossdale. And listen, I am 155% here for Gavin Rossdale, young or old. The man looks great, but why would he or anyone remove their sleeve and then cut it all the way down to just above the hemline of the shirt.
Maybe it's so you don't trail your sleeve in soup.
That is a good point, Helen. I know that Gavin Rossdale historically has had a huge issue with that.
Although you might get soup on your nipples if you're not careful with it.
No.
Due to the openness of this garment.
I simply wish to not.
Not think about Gavin Rossdale's scalded soup nipples.
No, Helen.
Anyway, this character Gaston is played by Robert Buckley out of iZombie.
Oh.
I liked when Ken Marino says that he sees Ryan Hansen as an auteur and he sees himself as someone who is not involved in the show.
Nice. Very nice. Wise move, Ken.
And then remember that Asian man who just delivered food and that joke that I already didn't like? It's going to get amplified. Because now Ryan Hansen wants to get an Asian dude in for shooting martial arts scenes. Where will they find an Asian dude who's willing to get beaten up? I don't like it.
Yeah.
But we're halfway through.
Hooray.
Veronica Mars Investigations is sponsored by Girlfriend Collective. Sustainable, ethically made activewear for everyone. Everyone! Everyone.
This is by far my favorite repurposing of old plastic bottles that I've encountered.
Yes, you can try and make your own clothes out of old plastic bottles, but you will look like you've just tried to make a robot costume, which is fine for some things, but not so good for being active in.
Yeah, yeah.
Just take my word for it.
You don't want to see the photo evidence that Helen could put in front of you.
I've got, because you know I'm a fan of portmanteau words, Jenny, I've got a skort. For when you want the not flashing your pants convenience of shorts, but protecting the visibility of the curvature of every part of your intimate anatomy of a skirt.
Oh my God.
In one. And a matching like sports bra. And when I put them on, I feel like I'm a middle-aged Peter Pan off to play some tennis.
Wow.
Incredible. I never thought I could feel that way.
That is an aspirational vibe.
Yes.
Beautiful.
But I digress. For listeners of VMI Pod, Girlfriend Collective is offering $25 off your purchase of $100 or more when you go to girlfriend.com/Veronica.
That is $25 off $100 or more when you go to girlfriend.com/Veronica.
Girlfriend.com/Veronica.
Helen,
yes.
Helen, if I go missing, the witches did it. You may be wondering why I'm saying this phrase to you right now. And aside from probably being true, it is also the title of a new podcast called If I Go Wish It. Oh, no.
Go on.
Called If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It.
And this is also a story for our times, because when a black writer goes missing in the Hudson Valley, a well-meaning but misguided white podcast host with a savior complex takes up the cause of finding her.
Is there any other kind?
Oh, no. The white investigative podcast hosts wreaking havoc once again. And in this case, there's only a set of voice memos as clues to help find the missing writer and a coven of influencers that may be responsible.
Is a coven the plural of influencers specifically? You know, like an ostentation of peacocks or whatever.
A persuasion. And the lead is only bloody Gabourey Sidibe.
Oh, is that all?
Oh, precious an empire.
Holy flip.
Yes. This show has everything. It's described as The Craft meets You meets Mean Girls, which is a concoction I never thought I'd live to see.
But I'm ready to sign up for.
Learn more about If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It at realm.fm, and be sure to listen to it and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. In episode 5, it's the first day of the private dick shoot.
It's also when we hear the unmistakable velvety tones of Darren Norris's voice. Helen.
Previously on...
What a thrill.
Yeah.
Jason Doering shows up again in the naval uniform from the movie. So cue people complaining that the insignia and hat are wrong.
Yep.
But he's not happy. He's not getting a creativity boner from the script.
Yeah. He's bummed because, as he puts it, you told me the show is a two-hander, but it's all dick.
No. What do you mean?
Well, first of all, it's called Private Dick.
Right, okay.
You've got all these one-liners and zingers. Well, my lines are more like exposition.
That doesn't sound right.
Come Dude, on. Page three, you roll up on a motorcycle, but you have my mom drop me off. Logan's mom is dead, man. Did you ever watch the show?
Whoa, of course I watched the show.
Well, you know, all the scenes that I was in, of course.
Page 17, you slide over the hood of a car, but I run all the way around it. Page 34, the beach volleyball scene, yep. I'm the only one wearing a shirt.
Now, see, that's just bad writing, Helen.
Ridiculous.
That's just terrible, terrible writing. Even I know that.
Yeah, well, they corrected it 5 years after that.
Thank God.
In episode 3 of season 4. Jason During quits.
Mm-hmm.
Takes off the uniform and puts on a very deep scoop neck.
Remember when very deep... scoops and V's suddenly burst upon the scene for Gentlemen.
I don't know why I dislike them so much.
Helen, it's just, it's not natural. I don't like them on women either.
Everyone, cover up to the neck.
I like my women in a, full
habit yeah.
kind of vibe. Yeah.
That's appropriate.
Nuns only. Only nuns. That's my website of choice.
Someone suggests to Ryan Hansen that he recast Logan, but who else is tall, suave, and ripped? Ryan Hansen can't play both parts.
Or can he? No need. Gaston can handle that.
And it's sad because by this point, Jason Doring's had a change of heart. But now he sees new Logan. So the setting for Private Dick, the first we see of it, is a memorial for Duncan Kane.
Hooray! My heart leaps in my chest, Helen. Duncan has been eaten by a great white shark, making him instantly 10 times more compelling than he ever was in life. What a day.
Wow. And they've made Gaston a bad actor who's reading his lines over Ryan Hansen's shoulder.
Which is fun, because he has a lot of exposition.
There's a coffin and pictures of Duncan Kane, and Duncan is played by fucking Ryan Devlin, who played Mercer.
Feels weird, Helen. Doesn't feel as weird as it is going to later.
No.
But it feels a little weird right now.
So Rob Thomas did try to contact Teddy Dunn, who was a lawyer by this point, who said he considered it because he would have liked to have seen everyone. But he refused because he was hesitant to return to the role in any canonical appearance.
All right.
And also is a lawyer. And maybe he was like a little traumatized by getting roasted as an actor. Sorry, Teddy.
We learn at this funeral, well, at least according to Dick, that Duncan loved nudity. Footage not found.
Well, there's tits out, Duncan.
That's true. But that's more of a, like, revealing than, like, full on.
I'd say Duncan was one of the more covered characters, and they only really let tits out Duncan out for the ratings.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, like, a poolside funeral, so some of the mourners are wearing black bikinis.
Yes, and fascinators.
Why not?
Sure. Now, Weevil is giving Duncan's eulogy, which is a surprise.
Did they ever share a scene? Poker night!
Oh, well.
They shared a magical poker night.
Well, they could have got, what's it, Chops, the son of
Sean?
A butler. Sean.
Happy to not see Sean, personally.
But Logan would have been the obvious eulogy giver for Duncan, surely. But Weevil is a community leader and sought-after motivational speaker. I love this for him.
Yeah, this is a good development for the Weave.
Why? What is pomp, rule, and reign but earth and dust? And live we how we can, yet die we must. Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, dog.
One man's life is but a grain of sand when measured against human existence and the vastness of its reach. But when we see the many lives he has affected, why, that man's life becomes a beach!
Weevil quotes Shakespeare. Wallace says, Shakespeare, dog. We get a very quick shot of Darren Norris among the mourners.
Doesn't look like he's enjoying it.
No.
I also kind of love Gaston as Logan droning that everything in the room was 3D printed by Kane Industries, which is a leader in 3D printing by now.
That is fun.
Did you know that everything in this room was made by Kane Industries 3D printers? 3D printers aren't really considered printers at all, but instead industrial robots, though not widely used in households. Most experts think by 2020 they'll have a significant market share, and we've only scratched the surface of what they can do.
Sweet. Good to know.
And then Weevil leaves the room and Dick realizes that someone stole his sunglasses.
Weevil's put on his sunglasses.
Yes, that's what happened. Thanks, Helen.
Goes upstairs to pursue the sunglasses, kicks a door in, and there's a dead Weevil with a foamy mouth.
Oh no, I simply hate to see Weevil dead.
How did you feel about hearing the line, "Hear no Weevil, see no Weevil"?
I did not love it, but I didn't hate it as much as I could have.
Now, a little interesting thing in retrospect at the start of episode 6 is Ryan Hansen talks about how killing a beloved main character, such as Weevil, is a key for success. If only they'd tested these waters a little more thoroughly before season 4.
It's true. I like that he cites Lost, Game of Thrones, and South Park as three great examples of shows killing off main characters. Hold the fucking phone. Helen!
Yeah.
Okay, hold my calls.
Uh-huh.
Clear my schedule.
Yes.
Somehow Madison Sinclair is the highlight of this entire piece.
Incredible. Cartoonish noir sex peopling with Madison Sinclair. Fantastic.
Her line deliveries here are so incredible. Also, her vertical foot.
Her sex foot.
Situation. Amazing.
Madison. Quelle surprise.
You want me to leave?
Dangerous time to be out alone.
I'm a big girl. I know how to handle myself.
That's what they tell me.
You believe everything you hear?
Depends on who's doing the talking.
Some people don't know when to shut up.
Tell me about it.
And then after the sex, Dick pours strong booze, which he lights with a lighter. The booze is in a little flask on his belt, isn't it?
Sure, I make being a PI look good. But being a PI is not all fun and games and boundary redefining sex. I've seen some dark stuff. The kind of things that would wear a man down. The kind of stuff that would make Gary Busey gag.
Now, Gary Busey is a name that I know, but I don't know why.
One of those guys who's been in like a zillion things and, oh no, it seems like he's been through a lot. Mm. Oh, he was in Point Break. Haha.
That's nice. Died after brain surgery, but is still alive. Then there's a lighting change and there's Ghost Cassidy Casablancas, good lord. He's grown a mustache and a chin patch in the afterlife.
Wait, is episode 6 the best episode of this show?
I haven't forgotten about your case, little bro. As God is my witness, I will find your killer.
God, Dick, I told you. I told you. I jumped. I jumped off the roof of the Neptune Grand.
That's what they want me to believe. Okay? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, and it is go time.
I think, isn't it Francis Capra who points out in this that the original series did not explore Dick's trauma at all? Which is something I've always been saying.
Yeah. I think that is correct. That is a great fucking point. And one of the many things that is true that is said in this series that just flies right by.
Madison has woken up and asks who Dick's talking to. And then somehow this gives Dick some opportunity to make some Mexican bike gang jokes.
Oh, no.
Which I don't like.
No.
But then Madison brings up Veronica Mars because that is her sickness.
Yeah, she's talking about Veronica sticking her nose into business. And who cares about that? It's just a stone on the path towards Madison saying, how about I give you something you should stick your nose into? And then we get to see some truly amazing sex faces.
A fantastic face acting from Amanda Norrie. She's a real treat.
Yeah.
That's why I always kind of love Madison, even though she's an absolutely reprehensible character. Because I think...
Yeah.
The performance is great.
So good.
And then downstairs again, the skimpy funeral bikinis. What is this show going for? I guess there is a lot of like male flesh on display as well, but
Yeah, they promised hot young people forgetting to put their shirts on, Helen, and they're delivering.
Yeah, but only the male ones get any lines.
That is true.
And Keith is back in the scene, zooming in from a laptop on the coffin top while he's bounty hunting in Arizona. And he says a mystery woman has hired Keith to solve the case from afar. She is very wealthy, has a Howard Hughes husband, she has two deceased children, and she was recently acquitted of manslaughter.
Who could it be, Helen? The answers are simply not presenting it.
And Keith asked Dick for his alibi at the time of Weevil's murder, and it was cunnilingus.
An unshakable alibi, as far as I'm aware, Helen.
Can I help you, Mr. Mars?
Dick Casablancas, just the man I wanted to talk to. What were you doing between 3:10 and 3:15?
Well, it's a little hard to explain, if you catch my drift. Nothing you haven't seen before, you know, with a zoom lens through a motel room window. Maybe you've tried it once or twice, back in the swinging 60s.
I was born in 1962, Dick. I wasn't performing oral sex in that decade.
Sex is a two-way street, Keith. Modern ladies want their cookies, too.
Is 1962 canonical? Because I thought Keith Mars was in his late 30s at the start of the series in 2004, which put his birth year somewhat later.
I don't know, Helen. Then Keith chokes on a sandwich?
No.
Or the sandwich is poisoned?
It's poisoned.
Because his mouth is foaming, just like Weevil's did?
Well, also because it's a sandwich he didn't order, so he shouldn't have eaten it, but he did anyway.
True. Well, sometimes you can't resist the allure of a sandwich unordered and yet still present.
It is true.
Mr. Mars!
Spanduli. TV 101, son.
How's Spanduli working out for you as a catchphrase?
Bad!
Yes.
What does it mean?
Money. Apparently, like Spondulix. It's also Rob Thomas's company, isn't it?
No. Rob, not everything is about you.
Episode 7. And here is Darren Norris playing himself, wearing casual wear, which is confusing.
Yeah, it is weird. But he looks like him. He sounds like him.
Oh,
and he has simply had enough of shooting this. And we get to see Ryan's Darren impression, which is fun.
It's pretty good. And it's nice that Ryan Hansen, the character, thrills to Darren Norris's voice like everyone else does.
Yeah, none of us is immune, Helen.
Ooh, I can feel the vibrations from your throaty timber deep within my loins. I bet the ladies love it.
Your mother did.
And then there's another sexy noir scene with Dick, but with Rose McIver this time.
Yep, yep.
Then the repetition of the booze. And I just thought, I don't know if this repetition is good in a show that is this short.
Well, he's amping it up, though, because this time he drops his flaming shot into a beer.
What's that called again? Is that a depth charge? It has a name when you submerge a shot in a beer glass.
I'm only familiar with specifically, now this is an insensitive name, the Irish car bomb,
oh,
Helen.
God.
Wow, yeah, sorry about that. That's what we're calling it over here for some reason.
Anyway, this drink is grief counseling Dick style. And then there's Ghost Cassidy again, here to deliver some fun facial expressions and the news that Duncan is sole heir to the Kane Software 3D printing patterns worth billions.
Yep, yep. Also, Keith's in heaven, FYI.
Oh, quite right.
Do you have any suspects?
Negative. Totally stumped. I can't think of anyone who would want Duncan, Weevil, and Keith all dead.
Well, every case is a puzzle, Dick. Top of the box missing. No picture of what it's supposed to look like to guide you. You just have to figure out how to put it together one piece at a time.
Truth, bro. But time? That's exactly what I'm running out of.
Well, what's the fastest way to solve a puzzle quickly?
Start with the corners.
You ask a friend for help.
Ask a friend.
So Dick calls, not quite a friend, Veronica Mars.
But Kristen Bell is not booked for this episode, so he just leaves a message. And then see some room service on the floor and a body outline. And then there seems to be some joke Spanish-speaking business and Asian business. And I don't think this is fine, even though Ryan Hansen, as Ryan Hansen says, they hired a dialect coach because it's important to respect other cultures. I don't think you can disrespect other cultures and say that and come out at neutral.
Yeah, this does not work.
It's also just not very good jokes. But then we go to the kitchen. Yeah. There's a poison bottle. Two Asian men run away with this like loud, like dubbed sort of running away shouting noise.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Then only the cook remains, who's played by the takeout delivery guy and is voiced by Darren Norris. And he and Dick have a big, big fight. There's a lot of genres in this, aren't there? It's like 70s punch cop, 40s noir, mockumentary. And it goes on for ages, this fight scene. But then the chef actually turns out to be Clarence Weedman wearing another 3D printed mask. It's like Mission Impossible, isn't it?
It really is. He is a sight for sore eyes, Helen. I simply cannot lie.
He really is. And then you get Christopher B. Duncan playing himself, which was an absolute treat for me. That and Madison.
Dude.
Best parts.
Were you excited when Ryan asked you to be a part of this? Who's Ryan?
Beautiful. And then this is how skilled the man is. When he learns that no one's getting paid to be in it, he manages to do a mic drop with a lapel mic. The impossible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
He does the things no one else can.
But back in private, Dick, Madison and Veronica Mars are face to face. And in slow-mo, Dick takes a bullet for Veronica or doesn't, because he seems fine.
It seems as though either the gun never went off or the gun like hit, like the bullet hit one of his guns or something.
Right, right.
Instead of anyone's flesh. And Madison is shot by whomst? None other? Helen. Then Wallace. And then Wallace says a couple things.
Do you know what time it is? It's about motherfucking time. That's what time it is. Get your ass some Wallace.
Which feels rewarding, even though what they're doing with Wallace does not feel rewarding. You know what I mean?
What if they'd given Wallace his own little web spin-off? What then?
What then indeed? Well, he's already said he wouldn't fly model planes. And he wouldn't allow himself to be taped to a flagpole.
Play to your strengths, Wallace. Maybe just him taste testing different cookies. Yeah, Wallace doing cookie mukbang.
I would like that. The Great Wallace Bake Off.
Great.
It's just a bunch of people competing to bake the thing that Wallace likes the best.
Incredible. Perfect. You did it.
Thank you.
Too late, though. Too late. They're never going to give them more micropilot money for CW Seed now.
Oh, no.
Veronica Mars Investigations is brought to you by Dipsy Stories, the app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. An audio wank bank, if you will.
Helen!
What?
I'm so happy to have a reason to hear you say the phrase wank bank. It sounds a lot more sophisticated in your accent, as most things do, of course, which I know you hate to hear, but...
I just don't think it's accurate.
In the case of wank bank, I have to respectfully disagree with you.
Whatever things you like to file away in the bank, Dipsy's got stories for you, so whatever configurations of people or scenarios, they're ready to turn you on.
Or if you prefer to just be frigging left alone... and soothed.
Yes.
Outside the company of others. They also have a whole little section of audio that's just soothing, little campfires and cricket songs. Ah, isolation. What a relief.
And what bank is that in?
That is in the Leave Me Alone bank. The ISO Tank bank.
Nice. Dipsy releases new content every week, so there's always more to explore. No matter who you're into, or whatever turns you on, or allows you to be alone, just in your brain with relaxing sounds. The coziest place.
For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/Veronica.
That is 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/Veronica.
That's dipsystories.com/Veronica.
The final episode. We made it to the final episode, and Dick rips off Madison's face. Another 3D printed face to reveal the actual big bad. Can you guess?
It's Celeste Kane, Helen.
Everyone's so shocked.
Dick is not shocked. He knew all along because of the contour of her vagina, Helen.
He'd know Madison's vagina like the palm of his hand. I'm troubled that Dick had sex with Celeste Kane, especially because we know from Lo that that's rape by deception, isn't it?
This is not great, Helen.
But he calls it powers of dediction.
Oh, God. Then Veronica, she really doesn't want to do this line. No. This line reading. She's...
Wow, Dick, I never ever could have put all that together.
That's okay. You know what? Someday you will get there. But you are adorable, and that counts for something.
Celeste angrily confesses, and the motivation is all of her season one and two grudges.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's some Scooby-Doo references, and another mask gets ripped off, this one off Wallace. Under there is Duncan, but played by Mercer, which is confusing. Oh my God.
Upsetting.
Because then you've got Veronica immediately, like, she and Duncan get back together.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually slightly more convincing chemistry-wise than Teddy Duncan.
They're licking each other's faces. Oh, God. The whole thing.
But her kissing not Duncan, to the consternation of not Logan, because Logan is played by Gaston, is confusing.
It's very weird, Helen.
And Gaston, as Logan, recaps why this is all happening.
Duncan must have figured out that his mom was planning his fake funeral, said she could gather all of her old enemies there, said she could murder them. He then flew back from Australia so he could save Veronica's life.
Way ahead of you, Ace.
Hello, old friend.
Beautiful. Continents, bloodshed, years, Helen.
At least they don't wheel that one out. It would feel so wrong with Gaston trying it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, it's not that kind of fan service, is it?
No. Nobody's happy to see Veronica making out with Duncan.
There's no scenes with Veronica and Jason Doering, are there?
Oh, how dare they?
And then in Play It Again, Dick, Ryan Devlin is just excited to get to make out with Veronica Mars. That's why he took this part.
Ooh.
But back in Private Dick, Gaston as Logan wonders why Duncan disguised himself as Wallace, which is a very good question that will never be answered.
We'll never know. We'll simply never know.
And then a dance number to the song No Mediocre by T.I. and Iggy Azalea. And let's not talk about those people.
Spanduli.
The dancers are wearing Dick t-shirts. And I think they've got the flask belts on as well.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know what I don't like, Jenny?
What, Helen?
I don't like the very common trope of white people doing tongue-in-cheek hip-hop stuff. Like a lot of adverts, they'll have like an inappropriate-seeming old lady or tiny child doing some hip-hop dance.
Indeed, Helen.
Or doing a rap that you wouldn't think could come out of their mouths. Just
yep.
Make it stop.
You're singing my song, Helen. Get it away.
This is also long. It's a long dance number.
Long, and then there's a whole other one, Helen.
Yeah, and in the middle, there's a boardroom scene where the execs pass on this show. But then it's a success in foreign markets, dubbed, although with different lines in the subtitles. And then you get a dance to the same songs. You basically hear this song twice.
Yep.
Which is now probably going to live in my brain, even though I do not want it there. But it's got all the actors in it as well. So you've got shirtless Jason Doering.
Yes.
You've got Kristen Bell, who I think is a few months pregnant with her second child while they're shooting this. It is kind of fun to see Christopher B. Duncan dancing.
I did like that.
Enrico Colantoni's wearing shorts.
Yeah, him and Dick are in like matching boxer briefs. Why not?
And then there's a pause to sign for food. So on it goes. On it goes.
On it goes. Until it's over.
And now it is over. We did it. But we can't do a lowdown because there's not really any crimes.
Well, Helen, can I tell you about my favorite lines?
I would love to hear.
I have at least three. They are, sex is a two-way street, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
They are, unsurprisingly, Ryan Hansen has all my favorite lines. Sometimes the hottest flames burn the most stuff.
Yeah.
And every action has an equal and opposite dick action. Oh, which is so stupid.
A dick joke that can stay?
A dick joke that can stay because, like, it just doesn't mean anything.
I like to Cassidy saying, what's the best way to solve a puzzle quickly? And Dick says, start with the corners. Very identifiable.
It's good.
There were quite a lot of funny lines. It is just they are also strewn into this mess.
Yeah. They live in an unfortunate place. They thrive among a bunch of less good and more offensive lines.
It is sort of like watching a 2-minute sketch that lasts for an hour.
Yes. Correct.
I think maybe the performers are having more fun than I was. And I wasn't having zero fun. I was having some fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But not quite enough.
Not quite enough.
But I did love seeing Christopher B. Duncan and Madison Sinclair, Amanda Norrie.
Dude.
Again. Wonderful.
Truly, she rips. I take back everything I've ever said about Madison Sinclair.
Well, no, a lot of it was warranted.
Okay.
So what do you score this piece? And I do think it is harder to judge something that is intended as comedy. Because you're not really going for plot, are you? It's just an emotional reaction.
Yeah, I think, like, there's a lot of fun, but also there's a lot of misses. So it's nice to see old friends always.
Mm. Yes.
Madison Sinclair is amazing. But there's just a lot of nonsense. So I will generously score it, like, I don't know, 3.6 spondoolies.
Oh, no.
Whatever that is.
Wow. I think I will give it, it's complicated. I think I'll give it 2.8 dropped mics.
Nice.
I think it was hard to have emotional connection with it. And I know that it wasn't intended to be watched this way. It was meant to be little bits as you're casually visiting CW Seed for 10 minutes of entertainment, and you'll come back in a few days for another and not watch them all back to back. But I did do that, and I have watched other web series back to back, like Burning Love, which has a lot of Veronica Mars alums in it, and enjoyed that a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the other Ryan Hansen spin-off, Ryan Hansen Solves Crimes on Television.
Is it better? Is it worse? Who knows?
There's only one way to find out.
It's true.
But maybe not now.
Maybe later.
What do you want to do next month, Jenny? I was wondering whether we could enlist Lo to tell us every crime that happens in Home Alone.
Ooh.
For Christmas.
I love that. Festive.
And then, of course, in December, we've got Brigadoon.
Cannot wait!
Well, Jenny, is that Play It Again, Dick investigated?
I believe it is. Case friggin' closed.
That was Play It Again, Dick investigated. And do join us next month for another investigation. But if you go to vmipod.com, then you can keep track of what we're going to investigate and recap on the pod while we're in between the Veronica Mars state of the pod and whatever the next phase of the pod shall be.
Yes.
But in the meantime, we have other work.
We do indeed. Well, you know, I'm Jenny Owen Youngs, and you can hear more of my speaking voice over on my other podcast, Buffering the Vampire Slayer. You can hear my singing voice in the context of music that I release under my name, Jenny Owen Youngs, and also in the context of my band, LAXs.
Maybe now's a good time to start ordering your Jenny Owen Youngs merch for holiday gifts.
Wow.
Just get it done. Just get it done so that everything's sorted in time.
Get it out of the way. Check it off the list.
You know, with the delivery
shipping
problems.
Shipping is going to be hell this Christmas season, I keep reading everywhere.
But I suppose if shipping is hell, then you can get a digital copy of the LAX's album off Bandcamp.
It's true, you can.
And should. I'm Helen Zaltzman, and I make the podcast The Allusionist, which is an entertainment show about language. Recently had the drag queen Kine on talking about the history of Zero. And you can get that at theillusionist.org and in the pod places.
The show is on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at VMIPod.
The music is by Martin Austwick and Jenny Owen Youngs.
The sheriff of this town is Hrishikesh Hirway.
Our ad partner is Multitude. To sponsor an episode of the show, contact them at multitude.productions/ads. We don't have a sign-off anymore because we've done all the daddies, so it's the end of the dick.